Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've got some stuff pinned up for 2 weeks. Are you ready? What time is it? We could have little cubby holes. I can make you turn all your watches and phones in and everything. It's good to be back. Glad to be here. And normally we just, if you're a guest with us, we want to thank you for being here, because we know that you could worship anywhere and you're with us this morning, and we don't take that lightly. Thank you. I mean, if you are a guest, if you fill out the guest information card in the pew in front of you and then take the information desk, we have a gift for you. I'm just wanted to say thank you and get to meet you and greet you. It was neat to see. I think while I was gone, the 2 weeks I was, I started thinking maybe I need to be gone more often. I don't know, but I think between the 2 weeks, two Sundays I was gone, we had 12 guests, I think, first-time guests, and so we're grateful that the Lord is sending people our way and checking out what's going on here. But this morning we're starting a new series called Relapse, and what I'm going to be talking about the next few weeks is talking about temptation, how to overcome temptation, how to defeat temptation when you're tempted with things. And so I think it's going to be a great series. I just want to give one more shout out. A lot of our college students were leading worship today, and most of them are going back this week or the next couple of weeks, and so we're grateful they're in when they come home to jump in and help us out and even give some of our normal worship team a break. And so I think they did a great job this morning. Let's just pray real quick. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your work. We thank you for your presence. And I believe with all of my heart that you have something special today. And so I pray, Lord, as we've always prayed, Lord, that you prepare our hearts, that our hearts would be good soil, Lord, ready to receive your word. And that which is planted in our hearts, we'd see a harvest grow 30, 60, 100 times that which is sown. Lord, we pray today just not be a normal day, just not be normal time at church, but Lord, that we encounter you and that would never be the same. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, when it comes to temptation, you know, of course, a lot of times people, we kind of mix up what is temptation and exactly what is sin. In the coming weeks, we may define that out a little bit more in detail. But there are four problems, I think, when it comes to sin. I think there's four big issues. And number one is that it's sin, right? Sin is sin. You see, the problem with sin is usually the way it begins is a lot of fun, a lot of gratification. You know, it makes us feel good, whether physically or maybe even emotionally, but it begins as fun. The problem with sin is that, I mean, some of you remember there's an old saying that goes something like this, that sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay there. Anybody ever found out? I found out that to be true. That kind of describes my life. A second thing, kind of issue with sin, is our own sinful nature. The Bible teaches us that when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that it brought a sin nature into the world, and we are born into that. And so we have this nature that is drawn to sin, and this nature that wants to live for ourselves, whether it be, you know, the lust of the flesh or the pride of life, whatever it may be. There's also another thing about sin, is that it's our enemy, Satan. Satan loves to tempt us, to pull us in into that sin. And, you know, he baits that sinful nature that we're born into. He baits that and tempts us to bring us on in to live a lifestyle of sin. And here's, I think, the biggest issue with sin, that one of the biggest problems, is that the payment for sin will be paid on time. See, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and those wages are always paid on time. The only way, The only way to escape that payment is to accept the payment that Christ made for us. Are you with me this morning? And so, the thing about the enemy, I think the enemy, he's the tempter. You know, of course, we got to fight against some things about ourselves. And we're going to go deeper into this and kind of unravel this and take the peel, you know, the layers off like an onion. But the one thing about the enemy is this. One thing about Satan is that Satan is smart. I don't know if we realize that or we understand that or maybe even, I know I hate to give the devil credit for anything, but the thing is this, is the devil's been around a while, right? And so, you know, the devil, I think, knows us even better than we know us. Because he knows humanity. Have you ever done something before and we're like, I can't believe I just did that? I mean, sometimes we don't know ourselves very well, do we? We're like, why did I just say that? Who was that guy? Well, the enemy, he knows humanity very well. Matter of fact, the Bible tells in Genesis 3:1 is that Satan is that he was the most crafty, the most shrewdest, clever of the wild animals. And of course, that's the form when he took that of a serpent that he brought down the garden with Adam and Eve. Also, he has camouflage. If you didn't know, the enemy has camouflage. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:14, he says, but I'm not surprised, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That's kind of creepy, right? I mean, that's kind of scary. I mean, something I said many times before we left for vacation is the problem with deception is that it's deceiving. He also has weapons. Genesis 6:11 tells us, put on God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. The devil has a strategy against you. And he's going to form weapons. He's going to throw those darts at you. See, the thing is this, is that the devil is not worried about getting you with the big deception first. He wants to get you to that place, but he's not worried about getting you to the big fall, so to speak. Or, you know, the thing that maybe the nail in the coffin. He just wants you to kind of get started in those small things. Matter of fact, he's good with getting us to the place where we can't tell the difference between right and almost right. And that's why we need discernment. That's why we need the gift of discernment at work. The Bible tells us in Song of Solomon 2:15 that we're to catch for us the little foxes before they spoil the vine in the vineyard. Those little foxes, little sins and things that run about. So listen to this. What I'm building up to this point right here. So listen to me. Temptation is rooted in deception. Temptation is rooted in deception. If we could see the end result of our sin before we sinned, do you think that would deter us? Then it might not be so tempting. The hidden cost of sin is just that, hidden. And what temptation is deception to pull us into sin. So that brings us to 1 Corinthians. I said 1 Corinthians 13. I meant chapter 10. It's verse 13. So maybe you have to flick back a page or two if you're in your Bible, or just a thumb flick if you're on your e-device. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The temptations in your life are no different than what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he'll show you a way out so you can endure. And this is one of those verses. Normally on Sunday morning, I do use the New Living Translation, the NLT, a lot because of its simplicity and understanding. But I kind of want to pull out maybe a little more, even though it's still a dynamic translation, a little more literal thing of what's being said here in the scripture. Many translations, matter of fact, the ESV, the New American Standard, the King James, the NIV tells us something. Where the NIV, the NLT says the temptations in your life are no different. These other versions say no temptation has overtaken you. And I love that wording. And it's simply because no temptation. Look at your neighbor and say, no. temptation. Now, let me qualify this, what's happening here. When it's saying no temptation, what that means is not one temptation, not any temptation. No temptation. So you can face any temptation and not fall. See, the devil wants you to believe that you'll always fall, that you'll always give in, that you'll always mess up. But Scripture promises us that no temptation can overtake us. That should encourage us, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what the temptation is. No temptation. These are not grand temptations like jumping off of the temple in the angel's arms and or denying Jesus with threatened with torture. What the Bible tells us are is that these are common to man temptations. These are temptations that are no different than what others experience. And let me explain it this way. This point in time in my life and my walk, you know, there are things that are not a temptation for me. Like, you know, doing meth is not a temptation for me. I'm sure you are glad to know that. But it's not a temptation. Now, there are those that that's a temptation. Why? Because it's something they were bound to before. And the enemy will always hit you to where he has deceived you before. The enemy will always hit you to where you have been bound before. Are you following me? And so, yes, you know, but I tell you what, if I fall for the little foxes and I fall for the little ones, could I get to the place where maybe, you know, I commit some of those big ones? Absolutely. Why? Because he starts small. He starts with the common things. He starts with the gossip. He starts with the dissension. He starts with the backbiting. He starts with the grumbling. He starts with just one drink or just one puff. That's where he begins. Are you alive this morning? Common to man temptations, this is your first blank, are the most dangerous. They're the most dangerous. They're the most dangerous. They are the most dangerous temptations we face because they're aimed at us when we're weakest and what we've battled with before. This is why Satan concentrates his efforts on them. And really, when I say that temptation is deception, and those are tied together, it's because temptation wants, its work that it does in us is to live in a fantasy world. I mean, think about when the serpent came to Eve, and he twisted God's words of what the real promise was, and him twisting that promise is what got Adam and Eve to take part of that forbidden fruit. We create this fantasy world. It ignores the consequences. It ignores the pain. It ignores the truth. The more we indulge in this fantasy, it's the more that we want it to true. And what it does, it feeds our sinful nature. But before I go any further, I want to make it absolutely clear. When Christ came, you see, when Christ came, not only do we get forgiveness of sin, not only does his blood wash us, but we have to remember by the power of the cross, the sin nature in us can be broken. Completely obliterated and destroyed. And so when you're in that place of temptation, and let me just maybe qualify it this way. We're going to go in more detail in a few weeks, but let me... I don't know, maybe this kind of way that it relates to me. You know, a bird can fly through the barn and then not be sin. It's when you let that bird get into the barn and build a nest that it becomes sin. Does that definition make sense? See, we're talking about how to overcome at the temptation point. And you can take those thoughts captive. You can take that deception captive. You can take those falsities captive, and you can cast them down in the name of Jesus. And so there's something you've got to do. You have to look for the escape. There's sometimes, you know, we get caught in that temptation moment. Let's be honest, we don't want to escape. Come on, somebody. Let me turn around this way and preach. You know, if you linger there, if you let the bird start building the nest, you see, if I have a porn issue in my life And I have no accountability to anybody in my life about it. And I'm up late one night, and I'm scrolling through things, and I just happen to click this and click that. And then it's always like the backside of YouTube, right? Anybody ever got caught in that? No? Okay, never mind. You know, that's when they all do all the pimple popping and... Okay, anyway. So what happens, it just kind of goes. But you know what? I do have accountability in my life. Matter of fact, we have programs on our phones. Angela gets everything that I look at. It gets emailed to her. She gets her. It's called Covenant Eyes. It's powerful. It's awesome. I'd recommend it to anybody. But you know what? I'm not concerned about falling into that temptation. You know why? Because I'm not going to park there and live there and put myself in a place where I'm vulnerable. I mean, if God has delivered you from being a drunk, the place to go immediately may not be the bar. I know you may want to witness to your friends, but you may take some other spirits you weren't intending. The young ones don't know what spirits are. Anyway, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, and He will provide a way of escape. Listen to this. Temptations, not only is it deception, temptations are promises. Temptations are promises. And those promises, they counter what God wants to do in our life. They're false promises, they're empty promises, but nonetheless, they are promises. The temptation to sinfully grumble is a form of a promise that you need, that you know, that you're really bigger than God is. But the way you counter that is you get into the true promises, the promise of God's word, the promises that will not return void and accomplish what it's sent out to do. And so, you know what, if you have a propensity to grumble and to gripe and to complain and to gossip, let's think about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He'll show you the path to take. Or how about Philippians 4:19 that says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Or how about, and we know that God causes everything. You know, one thing that gets us kind of the complain mode is it's hard for us sometimes when somebody else is getting blessed, isn't it? Okay, y'all are perfect. Man, maybe I need to... somebody gets the new car and you're like, well... Hello, should I be preaching about like drugs and prostitution right now? I mean, we see somebody, that little envy kind of rises up, that little jealousy. Or maybe you see somebody like, man, they're always blessed. Man, everything about their life is good. Well, one thing I just want to remind you is that, you know, rarely do people, you know, post all the bad stuff on Facebook. So if that's your litmus test, you know, the test is off, you know. But anyway, so I'm going to get on track. I'm derailing here. Sorry. So one thing is Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good. You may be in we just concluded the Storms of Life series. You may go and be through the storm, but I'm going to tell you something. God is going to turn it out for good. And when something good has happened to somebody else, rejoice. Be happy for them. The temptation to indulge in sexual morality is a promise that forbidden sexual experience or the selfish use of someone else's body for your own pleasure, regardless of how it affects them, will make you happy. But the Bible says in Psalm 37:4, to delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. Are you following me? You see, the way you get to the temptation is the promise of God's word. Like Psalm 16:11, you'll show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Well, there's nothing like living right with God. Nothing. So, when you're in that moment of temptation, this is another thing, is that look for the way of escape, but you really need to resolve in your heart and be prepared to not want to escape. You need to prepare yourself for that, to not want to escape. The hardest part about fighting temptations is that we often don't want to escape the moment. Fighting temptation means trusting promises over perceptions. trusting God's promises over the enemies and sin's deception. The Bible tells us you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Follow the promises of truth and not the appetites of error. Joy will come with the former and horrible regret with the later. And so there are several things that you need to know about temptation. And so we're going to talk about that just for a few moments. The first thing is this. To escape, we must know the truth about sin. We must know the truth about sin. You know, two scriptures of the Romans Road, maybe ones that you're familiar with, that really tells us the truth about sin. One is Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We've all done it. We've all sinned. It's all been a part of our nature. We all fall short of God's glory, of God's standard, as the New Living says. And I love the way it says the standard, because you know when the standard is set for something, what that means, right? The measurement for it is set. And so God's measurement is that of perfection. Scripture tells us that God is holy and that God is perfect, and that's God's standard. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't perfect. Nobody really said a good amen. I'm glad about that, because. But none of us are perfect. None of us meet the standard. And it's because of our sin that we can't meet that standard. Romans 6:23, as I said before, for the wages of sin is death. And so there's this measurement that we can never meet on our own strength, our own prowess, our own social status. Nothing we do will ever allow us to meet God's standard except for the blood of Jesus. You see, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, the truth of it is this, is that sin gone unrepented and unforgiven will lead us to a place of eternal damnation. I wish there was another way to say that. I wish I could say that different, but there is a hell. And if we do not allow God, if we do not come to place and submit our life to the Lord and have his forgiveness at work in our life, then that's our destination. But the gift of God is eternal life. When we receive that gift that he's paid for us, our sins are forgiven. We've got to know the truth about sin. To escape, we must know the truth about ourselves. You have got to come to the place that you're honest with you. As painfully humbling as it may be, we must come to grips with our capacity to sin. Given the right circumstances, we are all capable of evil. Let's just be real. We have to be honest. If we really want to escape, we've got to be honest with ourselves. The Bible tells us, Romans 3:10, as scriptures say, no one is righteous. No, not even one. Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. You see, we have to know the truth about sin, its cost. Not just the immediate cost of while we're here, but the eternal cost. We also must be true to ourselves, or true, know the truth about ourselves. And I kind of illustrated that a few moments ago, but you know you. You know if you get around the wrong people that it opens a door to do something wrong. Right? I mean, you know if you get around a certain set of circumstances that things might not just go your way. And so you got to know the truth about yourself. I know this is kind of heavy, and you know you're just not ready to shout the rafters down. But so I want to make sure I include this before we move any further. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, but if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I love the way the NLT says it. Who belongs to Christ and has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And that can happen in us. The third thing is this, to escape, we must know the truth about God. In reality, God is far more anxious to forgive us than really what we want to be forgiven. You see, some people's view of God is that he's ready to, man, just strike us dead at the first thing gone wrong. A lot of people's view of God is that he's just, you know, just around the corner waiting for you to mess up. And so, you know, he can bring that judgment and pounce on you. But I'm going to tell you something. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a loving God. Our God wants to forgive you more than you want to be forgiven. That is the truth about our God. And the fact of the matter is this. Listen, I mean, put it this way. Romans 5:8. I love this promise, Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were perfect. No. You see, God knew you. Matter of fact, he fashioned you and formed you in your mother's womb. Matter of fact, before the beginning of time, God knew you. And he knew every sin you would ever commit before you did it. Before you were born, before eternity began, God knew you. Are you following me? He knew every mistake, everything you would say. I mean, he knows now, he sees us, but I'm telling you, he knew before you. He knew before you was in existence. He knew before your mom and dad met. He knew everything. And yet he still sent his son for you. I mean, he still sent his son to die on the cross for you and to forgive you of your sins, knowing in your lifespan how many temptations you would fall for. We have a good God. To escape, we must know the truth about forgiveness. A scripture we quote so often here, especially kind of coming in altar call time and asking people to make that commitment to the Lord, is 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all that wickedness. You see, the truth about forgiveness, to escape, you know, the truth about forgiveness, it is this, is that when you've come to the Lord and you've said, God, here's my sin. Here's where I've gone wrong, and here's where I've messed up, and here's where and you just lay that all down to him, God forgives. And here's what you have to remember. Here's the power. Listen to me very carefully. When God forgives our sins, he is done with them. Okay, that land, are you following? When God forgives you of your sin, he's done with your sin, and he's not the one that'll bring it up. You see, we still, even me, I mean, you know, I was talking with the men yesterday. As of right now, I've been in the full-time ministry for 22 years. It's like I can't even believe it. I mean, it's just crazy. 22 years in the full-time ministry. And you know what? I wasn't the choir boy when I got saved. I mean, I talk about it all the time. I was far from God. I was a reprobate. I mean, I was a very, very good sinner. I practiced at it. I did sinful things. I acted just like a sinner. And even now, all these years later, now I've been saved 23 years later, I still remember stuff as a teenager. You know, sometimes when I lay my head down at night and I lay it down, man, it's just crazy, just that bird, that thought will go through about something I did. And I have a choice, just like you have a choice in that moment. I've got to decide where that's coming from. And I got to remind myself, you know what? God has forgiven me of all that. I'm a new person. That's not me anymore. Do you hear me? You see, too many times we allow, and if we allow that thought to camp, and then we start to regret, we start feeling the remorse, and then we start feeling the unworthy feelings, and then temptation can have a fuller work in our life because we allowed a thought to camp out. This is good stuff, church. When that thought comes in, don't let it land. I mean, if you got to sit up out of your bed, I mean, your spouse may think you're nuts. If you're out, or you're at work in the break, whatever you got to do, and you got to stand up and say, nope, devil, that's not me anymore. I'm a new person. Man, you're that old sinful nature and that old devil, he wants to bring that stuff up of those mistakes and those lies and those areas you fell short in. But if you have been forgiven of them, if God has washed your sin, then it's washed and it's gone. It's gone. And that's why you can stand and say, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no sin to condemn you. You've been forgiven. Forgiven. But we're not perfect, are we? Some even know that all that old junk has been taken care of. We're not perfect people. We're not perfect. I mean, you know, there's nothing that will test your salvation in the Permian Basin like driving. Nothing. And there's so many, I mean, I got that temptation. I mean, well, you know, somebody cuts you off and I'm like, yeah. Those are my Christian cuss words. We fall short every day. But see, here's the power of God's love and the power of his forgiveness. He still forgives. He still forgives. Does that give us an excuse to be lazy about our discipline and our Christian walk? Scripture does absolutely not. I want to tell you, there's grace for you. There's strength for you. There's empowerment for you. You can live this life. You, when you're faced with those temptations and bombarded with them, you can stand and you can escape. The devil wants you to believe that you're going to get caught in the trap and there's no way of escape. And I'm telling you, the promise of God's word is there's a way of an escape. And you can escape. Would you stand with me this morning?
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.